Hi, welcome to the Preach What You Practice podcast with me, Josh Green. We're all about preaching what we live and getting our walk to talk. Thanks for tuning in today. I've got an amazing episode for you called Thirst Traps, where I really think God's going to talk to us. So crack your Bible open to John chapter 4 and let's tune into today's podcast. I'd love if you could subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening. Send it to a friend, click the link and chuck it over to a friend who you think might enjoy it. And also, if you could support me on Patreon, it would mean the world to me. There's all sorts of tiers of how you can get involved, where you can get exclusive content and videos. You can get a sneak preview of my book. You'll also be able to get a signed copy of my book before the release date. So support me on Patreon. The link is in the description. It's patreon.com/preachwhatyoupractice. And let's get involved to today's podcast. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Preach What You Practice podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. Today, we're looking at thirst traps. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, my days. What am I getting into? Please don't turn off just now. Keep listening, because I promise you, it's going to be amazing. We're going to be looking at John chapter 4 in the Bible, a story about a Samaritan woman who met Jesus at a well. And if you're struggling with thirst traps or temptations, then come to Jesus and you will never thirst again. That is what this story is all about. This woman goes to a well. And she wants to draw some water. She meets Jesus. She has an encounter with Jesus. Jesus knows some things about her that she thought was a secret. He's God, so he knows that stuff. He knows us all inside and outside. And Jesus says, well, you've come for water, but I've got this living water, which means you can never thirst again. And so she's caught up in thirst traps, and she's had five husbands, and the man she's with at this time isn't even a husband, and Jesus recognizes this. And so even though she's caught up in all these thirst traps, Jesus is saying, I've got something which means you'll never thirst again, and it's living water. It's following me, and it's going to change your life. And I want you to look at verses 7 and 28 in John chapter 4. That's really what we're going to be focusing on and unpacking here today. Because basically in verse 7, John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, the woman came to the well for water. Now, I know what you're thinking, that's obvious, right? But later, after the encounter with Jesus in verse 28, it says that she left the well without the jar. So she came to get water at the well, but she left the well without the jar. Why is that important? Well, I don't know if you've ever had an encounter like this, a situation like this, where you get up or you go somewhere to get something and you forget the very thing that you went for. That happens to me all the time. Like, I'll be watching TV and I'll think, oh, I'm going to go and get a snack. And I'll get up, I'll go to the kitchen, I'll see a bit of dirt on the counter, I'll tidy it up, I'll load the dishwasher, I'll go to the toilet, I'll send some people some messages, I'll scroll on Facebook, and then I come back and sit down and carry on watching TV. And I forgot the whole reason why I got up in the first place. And that's a little bit of what's going on here. If you don't know what a thirst trap is, well, I've got two things to say. Firstly, don't Google it. Don't Google it if you don't know what a thirst trap is. And secondly, you will have seen them a million times before on social media. A thirst trap is basically like a picture or an image that you see, which is meant to capture your thirst, right? And most prominently, they tend to be slightly promiscuous, provocative pictures that people post of themselves, which are quite revealing, guys and girls. And they're intended to trap your thirst if you have a desire to see things like this. But let's be honest, there's thirst traps everywhere. It's hard to get away from them. And I think ultimately what I'm getting at today is that thirst traps represent temptations, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And temptation is a big topic, and there's so much to look at and think about, but I think ultimately what I want to drive home today is, no matter what temptation we're faced with, no matter what temptation you're going through, Jesus has something that will make you never thirst again. And I'd never noticed this thing in verse 7 and verse 28. I never noticed that she actually came for water but left without the jar. I was reading this story and I noticed verse 28, she left without the jar. Wait, that's really significant that she actually left without the jar. She went with an intention, but left with something else. We all do that all the time, as I've been saying. See, this woman went for water, but she came back with living water, which means she'd never thirst again. This is a woman who was given into thirst traps time after time after time. As I've said, John 4 tells us she had five husbands, and at the time she was with a different guy. But this time, she had a thirst that was quenched by something that would mean that she would never thirst again. And it was a very unlikely source. See, Jews and Samaritans didn't mix, and she was getting this thing from a Jewish man. Now, how many of you know sometimes it's the things that we need the most that we distance ourselves from? You know, the gym, healthy eating, being honest. You know, we're scared of the things that are actually good for us, but in reality, they're here for our benefit and they can change our lives, just like this woman. You know, it was a very unlikely source for her to receive something so amazing from, you know, somebody who is considered culturally as an enemy, very different to her, somebody that she shouldn't mix with. And you see this in the story. But actually, sometimes, you know, it's those unlikely sources where we get what we need. Now, let's look at the Bible here, because I believe there's so much for us to find, not just what I've found, but also in John chapter 4, there's so much for us to look at. So I'm going to read this quite large passage of scripture out to you, but don't click off, keep watching, because I'm telling you, I've got so much for you today to unpack in this story. It's amazing. So let's go. John chapter 4, verses 1 to 38. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. So Jesus is a big deal. Although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples were doing it. So he left Judea and went back to Galilee. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Now, we learn about that in the Old Testament. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. When a Samaritan woman, now this is verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can I get this living water that you're speaking about? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered this, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." How many of us are thirsty again? You know, we drink the things of this world. We get locked into temptation so many times, and yet we're thirsty again. But Jesus says, "But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I will give them will be a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to come here and drink this water all the time." He told her, "Go to your husband and come back." She said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you had five husbands, and the man you are with now is not your husband. What you've said is true." I love how Jesus doesn't condemn the woman, but sort of affirms that she's sort of telling the truth. "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." This is one of the key issues between Jews and Samaritans. Verse 21, "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Jesus sort of saying, look, these cultural boundaries, ultimately, they're worthless. Why? "You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." Why is Jesus saying this? Why is he breaking down those cultural boundaries? Because Jesus says, verse 23, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus is saying, look, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter society, culture, background. Ultimately, God wants people who worship him with all their spirit, all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and in truth, that they're honest and open about stuff. The woman said, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Now, here is a shout out to all the people that don't say, that all the people that say that Jesus never claims to be God. Watch this. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. There he says it, right openly. I'm the Messiah. I'm God in human form. I've come to save the people from their sins, which only God can do. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, why are you talking with her? And then here it is, verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me to finish the work. So remember, verse 7, she came to draw for water, but verse 28, she leaves the water jar behind after this encounter with Jesus. Now, I've got three temptation tips to get you that I've drawn from this story today. The first thing is, number one, the little things count. Honesty. Jesus called her out on it. The little things really count. Compromise starts in the heart. Compromise kills. And ultimately, we don't just wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to sin today. I'm going to do this massive thing. But sin starts with the small things in our heart, what we're looking at, what we're thinking about, dwelling on those thoughts. You know, there's a difference between thoughts that just come and go and pass and the thoughts that we actually dwell on and they take root in our heart, and then things start to manifest and grow, and we're slightly flirtatious with this person, or we sort of slightly untruthful with our finances here, and it all starts with those little things and they build into something massive. Compromise starts in the heart, but ultimately compromise kills. See, sin is never satisfied until it leads you to destruction. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. But it says the wages of sin is death. The ultimate cost of sin is death. Sin is never satisfied until it destroys you. And also, sin never satisfies. It always leaves you thirsty. This woman had five husbands, and she was with another man who wasn't a husband. You can see that she's caught up in thirst trap after thirst trap after thirst trap. What does she have? A thirst trap inside her soul. She was never satisfied until she met Jesus. Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus ultimately satisfies the longings in our heart to be loved and accepted and valued. What did this woman want? She wanted to be loved. But ultimately, she never found it. Because when we look for love in sin, we're never satisfied. But when we look for love in God, we can be truly satisfied in Jesus. So the little things count. We've got to nip it in the bud. We've got to catch it when it's small. We've got to deal with those small things in our lives so that they don't become massive things. And you know, when we think about the coronavirus outbreak, if it had been contained when it was small, there never would have been this mass outbreak. And you know, the devil will take a foothold and make it a stronghold. So the little things count. We've got to catch them when it's small. The second thing I want you to see today is that sin is a trap. Sin is a trap. Sin is deceptive. It sells you one thing and delivers something else. It overpromises and underdelivers. It promises you pleasure, but it lets you down and gives you guilt. It promises you satisfaction, but it leaves you with shame. It promises you freedom, but it makes you a slave. It promises to make you, but ultimately, it breaks you. Sin is a trap. It lures you in. It deceives you, but ultimately, it wants to destroy you. So don't be pulled into the trap. Instead of getting caught in the trap. My pastor, Ben Jeffrey, who I'm at the church today, I'm at Soul City in our new building, which is amazing. We can't wait to invite you here. He always says this: recognize, reject, replace. When it comes to sin, when it comes to those little things that come in our mind, recognize, reject, replace. We've got to recognize, is this thing from God or not? Is this what God wants for my life or is it not? And then we reject it. When we realize this is not from God, we reject it. We speak out and we make a decision and say, I don't want that in my life. I reject that. And then lastly, perhaps the most important thing of all, we replace it. We replace that temptation with truth. Yeah, we replace the temptation with truth, God's word. We've got to be diligent and disciplined to daily read God's word. And that's why I do these podcasts for you. That's why I'm writing this book, because we've got to be people who preach what we practice. It's got to be in our daily lives. We can't just preach the word. We've got to practice the word. We've got to be people who read the word, believe it, receive it, and live it out in our daily lives. Sin is a trap. But we've got to be disciplined and diligent to recognize, reject, and replace those things with God's truth in our lives. And lastly, honesty is the best policy. I know it's cheesy, but it's true. There's nothing like being open and honest with our close friends, with our families, and ultimately having no secrets. You know, if there's no secrets, there's no shame. If there's no secrets, there's no shame. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says this: if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? Does that mean that if we don't confess, that ultimately we're not forgiven? Well, I think it means two things. Firstly, if we're not truly honest with each other and honest with ourselves, how can we have true honesty and authenticity with God? How can we have open, honest relationship which God wants with us if we're not honest with ourselves, if we're not able to confess to God, confess to one another, if we're not open, honest, authentic, integral people? How can we truly have that open, honest relationship with God? We need to ask ourselves that today. And secondly, I think God's forgiveness is based on Christ's death on the cross, not our confession of sin. But I think what this verse is saying is, if we don't live in the full, if we don't confess our sins, we won't live in the full freedom of God's forgiveness here and now. See, the promise is heaven. The promise when we're forgiven is heaven, but we don't want to live in hell all the time until we get there. And that's what happens when we don't live in the full freedom of God's forgiveness, when we don't confess and we're not open and honest. We don't get that full freedom of God's forgiveness here and now. We don't want to live in hell all the way to heaven. See, dishonesty can turn into a deep-rooted bitterness which causes unforgiveness in ourselves. What do I mean? Well, people often say we need to learn to forgive ourselves, but that's not quite true. See, it's God that forgives. We don't forgive ourselves. It's God that ultimately forgives us. But I think what people are really getting at, and I think ultimately the concept, sort of the idea behind it, the heart behind it is good, but it's this. God forgives us. So the issue really is receiving and believing God's forgiveness. It's not a case of forgiving ourselves. It's a case of receiving and believing God's forgiveness. What changed everything for this woman was an encounter with Jesus. She received it and told everyone about it, so much so that she left the very thing she came for she definitely believed it. She definitely received all that God had for her, because she left behind everything she came for. I think it'd be really good for you to find someone in your life that can help you to receive and believe the forgiveness of God in your life. Because when you do that, it's that forgiveness, it's that goodness of God that the Bible says the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. It's that forgiveness, it's that grace which will lead you to a life, not free of temptation, but a life free from constantly and consistently falling into thirst traps. So, three things I want you to remember today. Number one, the little things count. Catch it when it's small. Number two, sin is a trap. So make sure to recognize, reject, and replace those things with God's word. Thirdly, honesty is the best policy. Get honest with God. Get honest with each other. Thanks so much for listening today. Please like, comment on this video. If you're listening via podcasts, please subscribe. Maybe send this to a friend that you think this might really help, obviously, without the judgment. And please support me on Patreon so I can carry on putting these videos out and getting my book finally ready, which will hopefully be here in 2021. Preach What You Practice, How to Get Your Walk to Talk. You can support me on Patreon. It's patreon.com/preachwhatyoupractice, or it'll be in the description of this podcast or the description box below on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening to Preach What You Practice today. I'm Josh Green. See you next time.